Anne-Marie.
So I will just share that when we first started talking about this at the department, one of the concerns that we had related to a state standard, which is the standard that's in use now and we would expect to be in place until when these regulations take effect. So again, the cutoff is loans first disbursed on or after July 1, 2019 would fall under the new. And I think from our perspective, the idea of the new was that we wouldn't have to interpret 50-plus state laws, so 50-plus the territories. That's a lot of state law to interpret for the department staff. And include in that the difficulty that sometimes occurs with students who are residents of one state but attend school in another. And then perhaps the school that they attend, they're not attending the main location, they're attending an additional location, which is yet in another state. So where is the contract then? Is it where the student's attending physically, or is it the school's main location where the contract, or the PPA, is done, the program participation agreement is signed? The other thing is you have online students, and so, again, what state has the jurisdiction? So in looking at those issues, our discussion was it's a federal program. There are differences among the states. Some states are very consumer friendly. Other states are not. The concept of two students sitting next to each other in a classroom where one was from one state and one was another, or even in an online program, and could be treated differently was troubling for some people. And the feeling is that that would be unfair to borrowers, that you know, one might go with a state that has a lot of resources, and if that's the applicable state for them, that's great. But what about the person who does not have a state with those resources, or the state is not willing to take up their case? So the feeling was that if the department had this in place and had a federal standard, there would be an avenue for students, for borrowers to come to us, that we would try to do it in a way that would be done without the need to hire an attorney, that would be a clear process, that would be plain English in terms of the application, that they could understand plain language. So I think we were looking at a way of making it better for the borrower, as well as to relieve burden on the department in terms of processing those claims to get to a faster resolution. We had thoughts about why we thought it might be helpful, and I certainly hear the concerns from the idea of having a state standard, but I did just want to put that out there in terms of that was where the origin of our discussion began.
As you look through this document, John, is there a place to put the language that you were talking about that would say that the department does not intend to preempt the state law, or is there any language that you can propose?
I can certainly try to write something up. I think, and forgive me, I don't spend all of my time on federal regulations. So in state law, we would normally add something like a rule of construction at the end of a regulation. It says, here's what the legislature or the agency intends with regard to this language. When construing this language, keep these principles in mind, in effect. I don't see why that wouldn't work in this case. And with language like what I had mentioned, language saying the department has no intention of preempting state law outside of this context, and a rule of construction saying where there are ambiguities, the department will look to the applicable state law, would go a long way to alleviate my concerns. I would also say I don't think that there would be the same kind of conflict if the federal government were to want to establish its own set of conflict of law rules here to try to standardize what law would apply to a given circumstance. Each state develops their own conflict of law rules, and that would make sense to me, but
so thoughts on that, on John's proposal, the rule of construction, and then is it additional language to address the ambiguity?
Coming in, I'm sorry.
Could you clarify your proposals again? I have rule of construction, and then I'm sorry.
It would be rules of construction to say, number one, it's not the intent of the department to preempt state law in any other context other than the discharge of the debt to the government. And a second rule of construction to say, where there's an ambiguity in construing the rule, the department agrees to consider whatever the applicable state law would be in determining what the federal standard means.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Rodriguez and then Kelly.
Not against what John is offering at all. I just want to know from the department, are rules of construction something that are regular in this process to add such a thing? Could someone add clarity? His experiences with state law, and I understand that, and I'm glad to have his participation here today, but I want to know from the federal perspective, what would be something, is there something similar to go along with what John is offering, and how can we help get to a point of consensus?
So I think that some, if I'm understanding what John is asking for correctly, I think some of those items would be items that we would typically include in the preamble. Other times, if there is a specific item that we definitely wanted to include, we could just add that to regulation. I don't think we have a similar structure necessarily that it's always included, but that's not to say that we couldn't include some of this language.
Did you have a follow-up, Rodriguez?
Thank you. From the department, because if we were dealing with legislation, John, then the thing we would probably do is try to get committee report language, which would be the clarifier from the federal perspective. But dealing with regulation, I'm happy to work with you to make sure items that are agreeable for everyone get in the preamble or anywhere else.
Thank you. Kelly and then Sheldon.
With regard to those two proposals, I understand the first one because obviously you wouldn't want to go against state law with something outside of this. But the second one where you're talking about ambiguity, where it would revert back to state law, I'm confused on that. And so can you explain a little bit more about what that means? Because in essence, by establishing this federal standard, we're trying to get rid of the ambiguity because you want students in all 50 states to be treated the same. So where, what does that mean?
I think from my perspective, I would consider ambiguity and lack of uniformity are two different issues. Language in the rule is going to have to be interpreted in a particular case, and how the language in the rule in the federal standard applies in that particular case. Normally, an attorney would look to what legal standard there is construing that particular language or deciding how that language plays out in a given circumstance. And I understand the federal standard wanting to say we're always going to look at these stock set of considerations, but any person subject to these regulations at the end of the day is going to have to try to figure out, does the term when the department used it in this regulation mean the same as it does when it's used in all these other different bodies of law? And so looking to those other bodies of law that people are already familiar with, state consumer protection law, et cetera, to determine what those standards mean, and the department making it clear we would look to those standards in determining how to handle each individual case, I do think it would reduce some of the department's burden of trying to just nebulously figure out what is the law of the state that the borrower's coming from, and say, how would the state, that state's law, interpret the language that we put down here as the standard? I mean, that's not, I think, my preferred approach. I think our preferred approach is that the current standard that we look to state law is adequate, but I think we would be happy to entertain that idea that the department is agreeing that we're going to try to make the federal standard look like the state law wherever it's possible or practicable.
Sheldon.
Thank you. A couple of just starting points here. First of all, I heard from the department about their need to come up with a standard that they can administer, there's an ease of administering. I think the fact that we have this huge backlog of existing claims under the existing standard just points out the complexity of trying to bring in state law all the time. Also point out what Aaron had to say. We all should realize that this isn't this standard here facilitates the filing of claims. The idea here is to come up with an expedited process so you don't have to go to court, you don't have to get backlogged. It seems to me, I think we have to recognize that the goal here is borrower friendly, and that is we have a standard that facilitates the adjudication, the prompt adjudication of claims. To get to John's comment, it seems to me we are creating a new standard here. There is a new standard being created. And it seems to me to make sense to say, you know, the standard of proof being one of them. I've never heard of the standard of proof that's in the regs here. But to the extent that there is ambiguity with respect to the new standards that are being created, it makes sense to me that there be some recognition in the regulation that the department can look to state law interpretations as a way to interpret the federal standard. That makes sense to me. Finally, I am troubled by the comment that John suggested, that we say in this regulation on borrower defense that the department will agree not to in other contexts outside of borrower defense, not to preempt state law. I just think that's inappropriate for this regulation.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments on that? Valerie.
So would it be helpful in an effort to begin to move forward again for us to go back through and start in the sections and for the attorney generals to share in any sections they have concern or they feel the language is currently ambiguous and proposals for us to consider so that we can begin to walk through the sections again, see where the concerns lay, where they might want to add language as proposed, or new suggestions that they have so that we can begin to see if we can work through the regulations in a way that becomes more one that they can support.
I'm happy to try to work with everyone in the room to work through the language. I would just point out, though, that in a lot of these situations, the ambiguity is only going to arise once you have a fact pattern to apply to the law. In some cases, I definitely think there's language that's creating ambiguities on its face, and I'm more than happy to try to help with that.
So it's 11:45, and I think that we, if I remember correctly, we started to walk through and we kind of stopped on page one or right before page two, Roman numeral four. So I guess what I'm suggesting to the group is we can start back and go through the sections again, given now that we've heard from John and other state's attorneys are going to add in language or propose things where they feel language is necessary. Or it's 11:47. Is this a good time to take a break for lunch and then sort of, it would be a working lunch because you'd have to go through and find out those ambiguity pages and then start back again after lunch. So we could start now and work for about, I guess, 11 minutes, or we could stop now and then come back. I'm sensing break for lunch. Okay, Mike Posada.
I was going to say, if we're looking at ambiguities, I mean, I think that's going to be an issue that we're going to deal with in many contexts throughout. So, I mean, I don't think that we necessarily need to have an entire path just looking at ambiguities dealing with state and federal law. I think we ought to look at ambiguities in general, which means we continue with the process that we're on from the beginning.
Okay.
Lunch. Just judging the body language in the room. Let's break for lunch. So it's 11:50 right now. If everyone could try and be back by 12:50 so we can start promptly at 1, that'd be much appreciated.
Thank you.